All right, here we go. Week three of Relational Needs, and hopefully you've been learning something along the way as we've kind of had this journey, because we said everyone needs help relationally. This is not just a marriage series. You can take what we're learning and put it in any relationship you have. So last week, being all about the idea of trust, that you can build trust in every relationship that you have, and the more that you build trust, the better that relationship is going to be. So last week gave you all sorts of ideas how to do that and how to build trust in those relationships. And hopefully every day you found ways to build trust into your relationships, because that's going to help your relationships be even better and more healthy and work together even better than before. So, and why are we doing this? Because I love this quote. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten. Okay? It is simple, but it's where we all are. You want change, you have to do something different than what you're doing. And that's what we've tried to learn. What do I need to do differently? What do we need to do differently in my relationships that I'm not doing in order for them to be healthy? And we've been trying to figure that out together and learn together all about this. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the two poisons, the two things that are killing our relationships, assumptions and expectations. And so if we can hit on expectations a little bit today, I want to talk about something that I think is going to help us with a lot of those expectations that we bring into our relationships, okay? Because we all come into relationships with expectations. You went into marriage, okay? All our married people here watching online, you went into marriage with expectations, okay? And, right, a lot of them didn't work, okay? You realized, I watch too many romantic comedies. It doesn't work that way, right? My life doesn't work that way. Marriage doesn't work that way. It looked good on a screen, but man, in real life, it's not working that way. So we all come into relationships with expectations. And those expectations lay a huge weight on our relationships that, if we're not careful, can cause a lot of damage. And we said part of the other problem is that we judge ourselves by our intentions and others by their actions. So I could sit down, we could start with the married folks, right? We could sit down and we could have a conversation, and you'd be like, I'm an awesome husband, right? I do everything right. Because in your mind, you have the best of intentions, right? You're going to do everything right. You're always going to put the toilet seat down so your wife doesn't fall in, right? You're going to do everything perfect, right? You're even going to put the toilet paper on the right way. Whichever way that is, you can explain it to me after, okay? Send me a message, because I don't know. So all of that, right? You would think so, because you're going by your intentions. Well, I tend to do everything she wants. I intend to help. I intend to be, a part of this. I intend to do everything I can. But she might look and go, oh, no, you miss a lot of stuff. You don't do this, this, and this. Because you're judging yourself by your intentions. We do this all the time. But the other person doesn't know what you intend to do. They're going to judge you by your actions, what you really do. And love, especially when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, okay, is not just about intentions. It's all about actions, okay? I intended to be patient doesn't work when you need to be patient. So you just take that list and look at all the things in action that we need to do. So we tend to judge by our intentions. That's why expectations are so tough. But we look at others, and the only thing we have to judge them by are their actions. So shouldn't there be something to help with the messiness of relationships? Because we got expectations, we got intentions, we got all this stuff. Shouldn't there be something to help with that? That's what we want to talk about today, something called grace. We want to talk about something today called grace. And the grace that, if we would allow God's grace to flow into our lives and then out through our relationships, it will make an incredible difference. Make an incredible difference. It'll change your household. It'll change your marriage. It could change your workplace. It could change every place that relationships are. It could change it all if we'd allow this thing called grace to just come into our lives and then out through us. Now, I want you to see some scriptures on grace that I think are really interesting, because most of us, if we would think about grace, are going to specifically talk about the grace that God gives to us. And we will hit that in a moment, because that's really, really important. But I want you to see places it shows up that you might not think the word grace would show up. Like, how about this one? You must let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for the building up of the one in need, that it would give, oh, here's our word, grace to those who hear it. Probably guessing you didn't think of grace that way, right? That your words have an opportunity to be grace-filled. Now, just for a moment this morning, what percentage do you think, since you got up and started speaking, of your words were grace-filled? Okay? You don't tell anybody else, you just have to sit there and go, maybe it wasn't very high. I don't know. Maybe you are perfect and you got this down and it's a high percentage. But how many of our words are grace-filled? We just don't think of that. That our words have a chance to be grace-filled. Here's another one. Let your speech always be, here's our word again, gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how you should answer everyone. How many answer this person, right? Because you know they're picking a fight, right? You know they're going to pick a fight with you. This is at your workplace. This might be with a friendship that's a little tense right now because we've chosen to argue about all sorts of stuff that we shouldn't argue about, but we do now. What would it look like that I could say my words have a chance to give some grace in this situation and maybe diffuse something? See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no one be like a bitter root springing up and causing trouble, and though it many become defiled, that it would just defile everything through it, okay? And so all of these have to do with what? Forgiveness and our words. Well, what do we learn from that? What do they tell us, okay? Now, before we get to any of that, I have to say something really, really important about this subject of grace. Because what I'd love to just dive in and tell us that our words need to be this way. We need to just bring this into our relationship. You cannot give what you do not have. I know that's really simple, right? You cannot give what you do not have. And we operate on this system every day, okay? The reason we don't go out, okay? Unless some of you in here are awesome, some of you watching online. Reason I don't go out and buy a new Ferrari, I don't have the money to buy a new Ferrari, okay? Because then everybody wondered why the pastor driving a Ferrari, okay? But why? Because I cannot give what I do not have. Now take that and think about grace for a moment. You cannot give grace if you don't have grace. You can't. You're gonna try and you're gonna muster up something and it's not gonna work, okay? The way we give grace is that we understand that grace has been given to us. This is how God has operated with us. For by grace, you are saved. Through faith, this is not from yourself. This is not your works. This is not your doing. This is all about God's grace given to us that we would be rescued and redeemed and we would follow Jesus. Ryan, you want to help me out? This is not changing right now. It's a gift to God. There we go. Ephesians 2:8. So you're not going to be able to give grace if you have not experienced God's grace, because you're not going to understand what it is to give something that somebody else doesn't deserve. Because you'd be like, oh, I'll tell you what this person deserves with my words, okay? They deserve to get ripped apart. They deserve to be belittled. That's what they did to me. You are not going to give something that is undeserved, but that's what grace is all about. So we understand how God operates with us. God did not save me because I was good, because I was nice, because I chose to be a pastor, because I memorized verses, okay, because I read the Bible app. None of that. None of that is the reason I've been saved. I've been saved because of God's grace, because God chose to do something I totally did not deserve, and that was send Jesus to die in my place and rise again for my salvation. I cannot earn that gift. That is totally a gift. Every time I try to earn it, I miss what God has done. So if you understand what God has done for you and you realize you are totally lost, you are totally hopeless without Jesus coming to redeem and rescue you, you are going to understand grace this morning. This is going to help you when we talk about it relationally. If you don't, and you are under some pretense that I got to earn this thing, and I got to go to church more, and I got to get more gold stars on God's chart in heaven, wherever that is, okay? And I got to be better, and I got to do better, then you are going to miss grace. Because Jesus coming and dying in our place and rising in for salvation is totally undeserved. I don't deserve that. Do you know what I deserve? Being a sinner, being separated from God. I deserve hell and eternity separated from God. That's what I deserve. That's what we deserve. And God chose not to just say, that's the way it is. He chose to do something, to step in and say, hey, you have a choice now. You don't have to do it. You can't earn it. You can't do it your own way. Please come. Let me save you. Let me redeem you. Let me rescue you. Not because of what you've done, but because of what I have done for you. So this is really good. Grace has been the basis of our relationship with our Creator from the very beginning. If you think the Old Testament is just about works, you've missed the Old Testament. There's so much grace in there. Okay, and most of you should get it if you were following along with our Abraham series, okay? Because Abraham made a lot of mistakes. We might look at Abraham and go, okay, God, did you make a mistake? I don't know if I chose that guy. I mean, that guy made mistake after mistake. He went to Egypt and messed up. And then all of a sudden, you know, he goes with this plan with Hagar, and then there's Ishmael and that whole fiasco, and look what that has done today. I don't know if I'd have chosen this guy. Yeah, that's because of God's grace. Grace has been the basis of our relationship with our Creator from the very beginning. Don't ever miss out on that. We are all getting what we don't deserve from our Creator. So, here's how I want to talk about what it's going to look like in our relationships when we bring this grace that God has given us, totally undeserved. When God gives that to us, then how is that going to change, and how is that going to be different, okay? So the first one is grace is going to impact our words. Grace is going to impact our words. Our words, this is what you need to understand. Your words, my words, they have a chance to do some things. You make a choice every time you speak. Is this going to hurt or is this going to heal? Is this going to hurt or is this going to heal? Am I just going to further the division and the argument we're already having, or am I going to choose to bring some healing into this place? Your words, my words, they will either hurt or heal. They will either lie or tell the truth. And I know we get convinced sometimes, oh, the best thing would be to lie. The best thing would be not to tell the truth. That is just not true, okay? They will either bring death and end something, okay? Maybe you've been there. Your words ended a friendship, okay? Maybe for some of you, words ended a marriage. They weren't grace-filled. They brought death. That's what our words can do. Or they can bring life. This is what happens when you're going to introduce grace into your words. They're going to heal, they're going to bring truth, and they are going to bring life into your relationships. That's a lot better than the other option. And again, when we understand we are getting totally what we don't deserve, then instead of giving back the hurtful words that that person deserves, who we're in relation with, who, because of what they've done to us, no, they deserve some hurtful words. No, I'm actually going to choose words that heal. Even when it's hard, because I'm going to give them something they do not deserve. Okay, this is all about this morning. This is what's going to be hard, is I'm going to take grace and I'm going to put in a relationship that at times is struggling and having difficulty, and you're going to give the other person what they don't deserve. That's what you're going to do. Give the other person what they don't deserve. That's why it makes the difference, by giving what is not deserved. Now, I know, right? There are just times you just want to give people what they deserve. And I'm telling you, you can actually make a difference. Is this lying to people? No. We've said what? Grace is all about the truth. It is all about the truth. It is all about healing. It is all about words that actually you're going to speak life into your relationships. And sometimes those conversations, I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying sometimes those conversations are really hard but necessary. When you have to tell somebody else that you really care about, hey, you have a problem. I will do whatever I can to help you, okay? Instead of just lying to them about, oh, no, you're fine, when there's actually something wrong and they need help, Okay? Grace steps in and says, I want to give you what you don't deserve, and I'm here to help you every step of the way. And I know there's been a lot of hurt in our relationship, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes, because grace makes the difference by giving what is not deserved. Number two, grace impacts our reaction. Okay? So grace turns down the heat. It doesn't pour gas on the fire. Okay? This is what grace is going to do. It's going to impact our reaction. Because isn't it true? Part of the problems are our reactions. Our reactions, your reactions. When we hear news, or, you know, some of us should just walk away. You one of those people like me, you should just walk away and not say anything. Okay? Because the first thing you say is going to be bad. It's just going to be bad. Okay? Because you're angry, you're frustrated, you're wondering how this happened. Okay? But that's what grace is going to do. Grace is going to turn down the heat. It's going to lower the temperature in the room that's already tense, and it's already heating up, and it's already getting a big old flame, okay? It doesn't stand there and say, hey, let's watch this thing really burn, all right? And just pour the gas on it and watch it go, okay? That's not what grace does. Grace is always going to turn down the heat instead of pouring gas on a fire. Now, isn't it true? One of the places we see this happen all the time, and it's gotten worse in the last 18 months, is on social media, okay? And I know a lot of you went and just got out because you're like, I'm done, because you really can't say anything, okay? You have to be really, really careful what you say, okay? You really do, because some of you have stepped in it, okay? And you know what you stepped in, okay? You stepped in it, and it was bad, and it was like, that's not what I thought was going to happen when I did that. That's really not the point. But isn't it true? I've watched friends just like give up on each other because, why? It got heated, and it got heated, and it got more heated, okay? And what ultimately ends at the end? Well, I'm unfriending you. I'm not following you anymore. I'm done with you. I hope I never see you again. People have left churches so they don't have to see other people, all right? That the heat got turned up, not in a conversation, right, face-to-face, online. Oh, I can never go to church with that person. Well, why? Do you know what they said on Facebook? No, I don't, okay? I don't. And why not have a real conversation? Because sometimes words just fail and we just mess them up, okay? Face-to-face conversation, not texting. Come on. Some of you have got, right? Some of you have gotten arguments over texting, right? Because you're like, if we talked face-to-face, we could probably figure this out. And sometimes, let's just be honest, our courage to say things we normally wouldn't say, it kind of rises behind a keyboard. I don't know why that is, okay? Okay? But people who would never say something to somebody's face, all of a sudden online, boy, they have all the courage in the world, okay? Sitting in front of a screen to say things they would never say to somebody's face. And a lot of this just raises the temperature and the heat instead of bringing it down and figuring things out and working things out together. Grace always turns down the heat. It doesn't pour gas on the fire. So this is the question you're going to ask. What do they need? You're not going to ask, what do they deserve? Right? Because grace isn't about giving people what they deserve. It's about giving people what they don't deserve. So the question you always want to ask is, what does this person need? What does this need? They've stated this, and we kind of had this conversation, or texting didn't go well. Okay, we need to sit down and talk about it. What does this person need? If you would start asking that question, you know what you're going to find out? It has nothing to do with what you're arguing about in the chat. Nothing. It's about something else that for them got revealed during this. I have told you before, I will tell you again. If you didn't learn something about yourself in the last 18 months, okay, you missed a golden opportunity. And I'm not saying most of it was good, okay? You found out stuff about yourself, at least I did, that I'm like, ooh, boy, that's ugly. That's terrible. What's the matter with me, right? Been there, done that, okay? If you didn't learn something, you missed a golden opportunity for something to be revealed. And then we could learn, guess what? That's what's going on with most people. Okay, something's going on with them, and the question I should ask is, what do they need. Because if I could figure out what they needed, that would really help me to help them instead of just turning up the heat on this conversation. Number three, grace gives space. Now, what am I talking about space? What space are we talking about, okay? Space for forgiveness to weed out bitterness. You understand something, I hope you do, and if you're not, you're gonna learn this morning. Forgiveness is really about you dealing with what's going on in your heart, okay? It's really for your benefit, okay? I guarantee you the person you need to forgive most of the time has no idea that you're that angry at them, that you're that unforgiving towards them. They might not have even a clue, okay? Their life isn't being affected, is it, by the unforgiveness? Your life is. It's a mess. It's got all this stress and all this added push, okay? Because if you don't give space for forgiveness, then bitterness comes in. And bitterness, as the writer of Hebrews says, it's a root. It digs in deep and it holds on a long time. And then it's not, then all of a sudden it just starts showing up everywhere because it's so deep. It has penetrated so many different things. That's just what unforgiveness does. But grace makes space for forgiveness so that I can move forward and I can be forgiven and I can give out forgiveness for my benefit, for my sake. It also gives space for disagreements. Now, for all the married people in the room and watching, I will say one thing that's really, really important. And hopefully, you know, you've heard me say this before. It is so important you marry somebody with like values. Okay? Like values. Marriage is hard enough. Okay? Never mind marrying somebody that's totally different. I know it works out in Hallmark movies every time, right? Like, this isn't real, okay? And that's why my wife won't watch them with me, right? Because I'll just sit there and go, that's not real, okay? That's not real. They're so different. They have no values in common, okay? But let's just be real this morning. Because she's cute and he's hot and they're good in bed, they think it's all good, okay? And it's not, okay? And some of you can't believe I just said that. It's okay, right? I'm going to be real this morning about this. You have to marry somebody with like values. Because you have no idea what you're going to run into in life. You have no idea what you're going to run into in life. But if you have like values, and you're most of the time going in the same direction, you can work your way through anything. You can work your way through anything. And you can then give space for disagreements about things that aren't that important. That aren't that important. That you can just say, yeah, we're just going to disagree on that, okay? We're going to disagree on that. But here's what happens right now. We don't have any space for disagreements. We don't have space for disagreement. You either believe in everything that the government wants to do or you don't. And we're on different sides now, okay? I have no space for you, all right? You either follow everything I think you should follow or, well, I can't do life with you. That's just where we are with people. It's a really, really bad place. That's not a place of grace. Because grace gives space for disagreements. And recognize there's so many non-essential things that we argue over that really don't make a difference at all in eternity. Okay? They don't. They make no difference in eternity. But my goodness, we will argue, we will fight, you will get all wound up about it. Okay? And it makes no difference for eternity. But grace will give space for disagreements. And I'm telling you that works best when you are with people with like values. So marry somebody with like values. That will simply change everything. It will. Because you'll find yourself you're going in the same direction so many times that when there is one, there's space and you can figure it out. Because it's not something so life-changing, so essential to who you are and what you believe. But a lot of times we don't do that. And a lot of times we don't create space for each other that we can disagree and be okay. That I can still love you and care about you and be your friend and be in friendship with you even if we don't agree on everything. But it seems there are just some issues right now. People are losing friendships over and relationships over. And I'm telling you, grace gives space for disagreements by giving people what they don't deserve. Or this is what I heard this said once, and I thought it was so brilliant. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be in relationship? Right? Do you want to be right? Do you want to be right, or do you want to be in relationship? What is your higher value? Okay? What is your higher value? Married folks, what is your higher value? Okay? Well, I'm just going to argue because I know she's wrong. Okay? So it's more important you're right or that you're in relationship. And of course, I'm not talking about huge essential things for a moment. I'm just talking about most things. Sometimes we just have to be right. I want to be right. I got to be right. I'm stubborn enough, I'm going to be right. And either you have somebody who will go along with you, or you'll find yourself sleeping on the couch quite a bit. That's what's going to happen. You want to be right, or you want to be in relationship? Because sometimes grace will give space for disagreements. So I want to end this morning with two questions, because there's two things I want you to think about this morning about this topic of grace and bringing grace into your relationships. And the first one's really important. Are you walking in the grace of God? Are you walking in the grace of God? We were to sit down, have coffee. And I would just ask you, okay, how do you know you're following Jesus? And if it's a bunch of rules, if it's a bunch of, I did this week, I was at church, right, Ed? You saw me. I gave this week, check. Right, I was nice to the dog this week. If you're just going to list me your accomplishments, you're not walking in the grace of God. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're not. You're living off of I got to do better. I got to do better. I am telling you that is a terrible way to live, and God doesn't want us to live that way. God does not want you to live that way. That way's a prison. That way's a trap, and you're going to get stuck in this. I got to be better. I got to be better. And all you're going to think of yourself is a failure. Oh, I yelled at my kids. I'm a terrible parent. I'm an awful parent, right? And you're going to condemn yourself constantly. Unless you understand that God redeemed us and rescued us when we didn't deserve it. And we walk in that grace of this undeserved favor of God. And you know what we find? God is a good and loving Father. And maybe you've never understood that, but God is a good and loving Father who loves to give gifts to his children. Walk in the grace of God. Are you walking in the grace? Because I'm just telling you, you cannot give what you do not have. You are really struggle with this, and it might go good for a day, and then it might just tank because you just don't have any grace to give, because you don't understand that's how God operates with you, that he's given you all the grace in the world and has welcomed you into his family and made this all possible through Jesus. So that's the first one. Are you walking in the grace of God? And are you giving the gift of grace to your relationships? That's the second one. And what would it look like this week if I just went out and decided to give some grace into my relationships? I'm telling you, it's going to revolutionize all the parents in the room listening, watching online. It is going to revolutionize your kids, okay? If you just start giving some grace into that relationship. Bring it into your marriage. It'll make a huge difference. Bring it into your workplace where maybe it's not there at all, right? But you bring it in because God's grace is working in you, and you're going to let it go out of you to the people around you. Oh, revolutionize the workplace. Revolutionize your relationships, your neighborhoods, every relationship you are in. It would change it if you would just bring that gift. Yeah, but they don't deserve it. I know, it's grace. None of us do, but it's all been given to us. So, as we end every week, we're going to pray together, and then we're going to sing together. And as we pray together, we're just going to ask God, and we're going to thank God for his grace. And if you haven't experienced that grace, I would just invite you. It is just simply asking God, thanking him for his grace, and asking that that would be part of your life, and you would walk in relationship with him, and you would start following Jesus. So simple. And that you could take that grace and give it. And for all the people following Jesus, watching, listening, here in the room, go give that away today. Go give that away when you get home. Go give that away when you get in the car. Go give that away in all your relationships and watch what God does with it. So let's pray, and we're going to sing one more time and worship God this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray first of all, that we would so understand your grace that it would move us. Would move us away from all our work-based, I got to keep rules and I got to make sure God is pleased with me today, when your favor is totally undeserved and you give it freely to us. And we recognize that every time we look at the cross. We recognize you showed us how much you loved us and the grace you gave us. We did not deserve that in the moment. We deserved that death. We deserved separation from you. But you came full of grace and full of truth. So I pray we would first, boy, we would just stand in that grace this morning. We'd let that grace so penetrate our lives that then we could go put it and give it its gifts. All the places, all the relationships that don't deserve it. The person who treated us badly. The person that's talked to us about our back, behind our back, and we don't know how we'll ever forgive them. Our spouse right now, our marriage is a little rocky, a little testy right now because of events. What if we just brought grace into it? What if we brought grace into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces? It would change everything. Because God, that's what your grace does. So remind us this morning and fill us with your grace, and then have us go and pour that out into all our relationships this week. And Father, what you do is all going to be about you, because we are giving something that first we didn't deserve and that those around us don't deserve either, but it changes everything. Help us to live and stand in that grace. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.